This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Douglas Impuga, and here is what's coming up.
However, I hope to see that visits like this help to create a more equal relationship where one country does not dominate the other.
That's Faida Ngaga in Tanzania talking about her hopes for U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris's visit. We'll have more coverage on Harris's trip in the show. And Kenyan protests today are again marked by violence. And the Vatican says Pope Francis is recovering from a respiratory illness. All this and more coming up on Africa News Tonight. Today, U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris announced plans to boost trade with an investment in Tanzania. Harris arrived in the country yesterday after wrapping up a visit to Ghana. She met President Samia Suluhu Hassan on Thursday in Tanzania's commercial capital, Dar es Salaam. The two gave short statements to the media before going into a longer session of private talks. Idi Uwesu attended the media briefing. I reached him earlier for more details.
People are excited here in Dar es Salaam. There has been a lot of programs today. Vice President started by having a talk with President Samia in the State House, and then came out to speak to journalists on what they have been discussed. And Vice President Kamala Harris explained that they have been agreed to partner with Tanzania in sectors like infrastructure, transportation, digital technology, climate and energy security projects.
What else did they talk about in the press conference?
During their press conferences, Vice President Kamala Harris explained that they have been in discussion with Tanzanian to facilitate up to $500 million to finance U.S. companies in export goods and services to Tanzania. So this is mainly in sectors of infrastructures, transportation, and digital technology. Also, she mentioned about a new partnership in 5G technologies because they believe they want to ensure that communication sectors also grow up. And that's why they have launched this new partnership on 5G technology. Also, Vice President Kamala Harris mentioned that the U.S. government is supporting the collaboration of the government of Tanzania and private sector partnership. And that's why they've been harmonizing the more U.S. companies to come and invest in Africa. She gave an example of a new plan by Lightzone Metals, who wants to open a new processing plant in Tanzania for minerals that goes into electric vehicle batteries. That project, as she mentioned, that will be of benefit for the both sides, taking into account that they are encouraging the innovations and technologies in Africa and world at large.
Tanzania has been praised for trying to get on the road to democracy. Was anything about good governance and democracy mentioned?
On the issue of democracy, Vice President Kamala Harris commends Tanzanian President Samia Suluhu Hassan. For example, she removed ban of political rallies and give now room for most of political parties to conduct their duties. And she said that if this continues, means Tanzania now is going to have to be one of the countries that uphold democracies, and that is good for the development of the country and its people.
What's on the program for the Vice President Kamala Harris?
Mainly today, it was a busy day for her because after having a talk with President Samia, she headed to a National Museum Center where she put flowers in remembrance of the people who lost their lives during the U.S. embassy bombing in 1998. And then she went to visit Tanzanian Startup Association, where she met with the upcoming entrepreneurs and young people who are investing in digital work.
That was Idi Uwesu. He spoke with me from Dar es Salaam. Reporter Charles Kombe is in Dar es Salaam, and he's been talking to people there about the U.S. Vice President's visit. Faida Ngaga says the visit is the result of decades of ties between the two nations. She hopes, however, it marks a change in the relationship.
I hope that this visit brings, especially to Tanzania, is the equality, you know, equality in these countries. I know these countries are different, you know. America is developed more. It is a developed nation. Tanzania is a developing nation. However, I hope to see that visits like this help to create a more equal relationship where one country does not dominate the other, you know, where one country does not necessarily impose forcefully its ideas and cultural norms. That's one thing that I hope this visit gets to achieve.
Good luck, Paul, thinks the visit could bolster Tanzania's efforts to build its economy.
Tanzania is highly focusing on economic diplomacy, and you have seen President Samia Suluhu Hassan trying to attract direct foreign investors. And Tanzania and the United States have been in a strong diplomatic ties since when President Mwalimu Julius Nyerere, the first president of Tanzania, was in power, and we have seen the other successors trying to develop that relationship. So I think this is going to be one of the fruitful visit that Tanzania is going to increase investors, is going to strengthen the area of economic diplomacy.
Daniel Faustin also thinks Harris' visit is positive.
Na imani ziara ya makamu wa rais wa Marekani, Kamala Harris.
Okay. He says he thinks the trip will bring significant benefits since the United States is one of the largest countries. He said he thinks it will particularly help in expanding employment and the economy. Harris arrived in Tanzania yesterday after spending 3 days in Ghana. Tomorrow she flies to Zambia. The U.S. Vice President is the fifth high-level visitor to the continent this year. The visits are part of U.S. President Joe Biden's effort to expand partnership with African nations. Medical Teams International, a global humanitarian and health organization, has commended Vice President Kamala Harris for her visit to Tanzania. Medical Teams is grateful for the increased visibility she will bring to some of the unique challenges and opportunities facing this nation. Dr. George Mwita, Medical Teams Country Director for Tanzania, tells me that a major challenge Medical Teams works to address is removing barriers to health care for refugees in Tanzania, many of whom arrive from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
We are just excited that the Vice President is around. As an organization, we are proud because we are an American organization, and we have been in progress in terms of supporting our people, especially in the refugee setting. Most importantly is the fact that one of the organizations from the American people, BPRM, have been very, very supportive in the last 5 years. They have given Medical Teams International to close to $15 million US dollars to support activities that are related to the displaced people, which we find very, very important in terms of responding to sudden emergencies as well as the long-term crisis. And therefore, for her to come around, we are proud that she should be able to, at least, apart from looking at the kind of economic activities that we are doing, the economic and the other relationships, we are interested also to see that to say thank you, because the American people have been working very seriously and very, very closely to Tanzania, with the Tanzania group.
What challenges does Medical Team International face in Tanzania right now?
Well, at the moment, as we are speaking, actually, we are responding to a crisis. There is an influx from Democratic Republic of Congo due to the ongoing conflict in North Kivu. There are a number of people, refugees, who are actually in Kigoma as we are speaking now. And this is unprecedented because it was not part of our contingency. bearing that we were expecting maybe to have this happening during the election period. Unfortunately, at the moment, we're talking about over 6,300 refugees who are at Goma. And what we are doing as an organization now, we are trying to do the medical screening and ensuring that we are able to support life-saving services to this particular group of people. We are at the moment seeing how we can have the same group remaining in Kigoma, but at the same time getting them moved to the refugee camps. So we are working around the clock to ensure that all this is happening, and especially with the government talking about Marburg fees, we have been putting up some very pertinent strategies to ensure that this does not hit us. One thing that we are doing at the moment is that we are really trying to set up a mobile health clinic so that we are able to support the refugees, but at the same time we have prioritized caring for the mental health of these people that we are serving, by providing them with some group therapy as well as individual therapy, basically.
How can donors or governments like the one in the United States do help support your work?
As we're talking now, as I've already indicated, the issue here is that we did not plan to have this. Already, Tanzania and medical teams specifically, we have been fighting reduced funding, especially in the refugee setting, bearing in mind that a number of donors have focused their efforts to the other areas like the Russia and the Ukraine issues, and the other day on the Turkey-Syria. So at the moment, we are actually deficient of key medical supplies, nets, infection nets. We are looking for a medical staff who are able to support at the moment. We are talking about already cases where the current refugees are not able to access actually the basic standards that we are supposed to be giving to them. So in the event that we are looking for donors at the moment, we need to see how we can get this kind of financial support, but at the same time, any kind of in-kind support. For some of these patients who are coming have already some complications, and therefore they have to be taken to other higher or tertiary organizations. So essentially, every week we're spending close to $7,000. And therefore, if this is likely to go beyond maybe this month, we are already in a crisis, essentially.
That was Dr. George Mwita, Medical Team's Country Director for Tanzania. He spoke with me from Dar es Salaam. You are listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Douglas Mpuga in Washington. Freed Hotel Rwanda hero Paul Rusesabagina has arrived in the United States and been reunited with his family in Texas. Rusesabagina, a U.S. legal resident and Belgian citizen, is credited with sheltering more than 1,000 ethnic Tutsis at a hotel he managed in Kigali during Rwanda's 1994 genocide. He disappeared in 2020 during a visit to the United Arab Emirates and appeared late at stand trial in Rwanda, where he was sentenced to 25 years in prison for membership in a terrorist group, murder and abduction. He said that while he had helped form the opposition Rwanda Movement for Democratic Change, he did not support violence by its military wing. He was pardoned after talks between Washington and Kigali. President Joe Biden welcomed his release, calling it a happy outcome. Fresh opposition demonstrations in Kenya today were marked by violent clashes. Protesters threw stones at police and local office for President William was set ablaze. This is the third protest since last week. The opposition leader Raila Odinga has called his supporters to protest high living costs and alleged fraud in last year's election. On Monday, Ruto's supporters attacked property of Odinga's family and a farm owned by former President Uhuru Kenyatta, an Odinga supporter. Two protesters have died in clashes with police, and African Union and Kenyan religious leaders have called for calm. Odinga, who lost last year's presidential election, challenged Ruto's victory, but the Supreme Court upheld the result. Reporter Mohamed Yusuf is in the capital, Nairobi, and he has been speaking with people there about the protests. Joseph Dund lives in the Mathare community, which has seen running battles between the police and protesters. He says people are stuck in their homes because it's not safe to go out. He says that means the country can't prosper.
Mambo si nzuri, lazima tu wakubwa wetu waelewane ndio kila kitu kiwe vizuri juu kila mtu sasa analia.
He says the situation does not look good. He says the country's leaders will have dialogues that things can get back to normal because everyone is struggling and people depend on their businesses to feed themselves. Felix Shebe owns a butchery in the Imana Dayama neighborhood. He says Raila Odinga addressed protesters in front of his shop. Sheba says the political leaders were at his door. The way they spoke, it was okay. There was no chaos. He says he thinks the police are the ones who bring chaos. There was no police here and everything was fine. But as the protesters moved on, police followed them and boys started throwing stones at them. Odinga has called for protests every Monday and Thursday, although the Kenyan government has banned them. The Vatican says Pope Francis's respiratory infection is improving after he spent the night in a hospital. The French news agency AFP reports the 86-year-old pontiff today ate breakfast, read newspapers, and did some work. Francis was forced to cancel his scheduled engagements today, and there are now questions over his presence for Holy Week and Easter, which Roman Catholics celebrate on April 9th. The head of the board of directors of Namibia's National Oil Company has appeared in court to face charges of dealing drugs. Jennifer Kwamali was arrested at the company's offices on Monday when intelligence officers acting on a tip-off allegedly found a consignment of drugs in her official vehicle. Vitalio Angula reports from the Namibian capital, Windhoek.
Jennifer Kwamali on Tuesday appeared in the Windhoek Magistrates Court on charges of dealing in dangerous dependence-producing substances. A spokesperson for the Namibian police in the Commerce region, Silas Shipandeni, confirmed the arrest to VOA.
Now, the contraband were discovered in a vehicle, of which, among others, there was a discovery of 935 grams of cannabis, of which one can call as a skunk, 10 grams of cocaine powder, and 90 units of crack cocaine, with a total of street value, of course, of $55,000.
A group of 50 supporters gathered at the magistrate court on Tuesday to offer support to Kwamali, who many believe was set up as a result of a power struggle between her and the managing director of the National Petroleum Corporation of Namibia. NAMCO, in partnership with Dutch oil giant Shell and Qatar Energy, recently announced a major oil discovery off the coast of Namibia. NAMCO owns a 10% stake in the joint venture, which may provide huge revenues for Namibia if drilling and production proceed. A Namibian corporate leader and a friend to the accused, Twapewa Kadhikwa, was among those showing support for Kwamali in court. She told VOA she believes Komali's arrest is politically motivated by those with an interest in Namibia's touted oil sector.
It's obvious. It's not something you can put aside. So to me, as a corporate leader, first, I know Jenny. Jenny doesn't use drugs. To understand, the volume of drugs that were found in her car are for like a trader, you know, not for a consumer even.
Kadhikwa said the arrest seems to be a plot to discredit Kwamali. Responding to questions regarding Namibia's emerging oil and gas industry, local political analyst Rachel Andreas said the country should ensure it has the necessary governing structures in place to ensure that those in power do not line their pockets with money that could benefit the general public.
We've come in to learn that systemic corruption is a reality for the African continent, and a lot of time this corruption takes place under the umbrella of legal frameworks. So I think in terms of making sure that we have strategic infrastructures in place, making sure that we don't have loopholes that can be exploited to enable systemic corruption, I think that's the larger conversation.
Kwamali was released on bail on Tuesday. The Inspector General of the Namibian Police, Joseph Shikongo, has called for an investigation into the circumstances that led to her arrest and who tipped off the police about the drugs allegedly found in her car. Vitalio Angula for VOA News, Windhoek, Namibia.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. we may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1 202-258-3076.
More than 1,000 people fleeing militant attacks in Burkina Faso have sought refuge in Ghana in recent months and are waiting for their official refugee status to be determined. To help, villagers in northern Ghana are donating farmland to a local refugee camp. Senoda Todd reports from Sapalega, Ghana.
4 years ago, Mandy Bukari and his family arrived here in Ghana after fleeing violent extremists in their hometown in neighboring Burkina Faso. They have been joined by another 4,000 Burkinabes over the last 4 years, more than 1,000 coming in the last 6 months alone. Bukari, like other Burkinabes, is seeking asylum. He says they are killing so many people in Burkina Faso and they are no longer safe in their homes. He adds that militants continue to raid their homes without any cause and kill their family members without provocations. Bukari and other Burkinabes are waiting for their refugee status to be determined so they can enter a refugee livelihood program. Until then, they remain asylum seekers and depend largely on donations from the government of Ghana and other aid groups. Ghana's refugee board says Burkinabes are put through a rigorous security process to weed out possible militants. Tete Paddy is the executive secretary for the Ghana Refugee Board.
It's a delicate balance that we need to achieve. It's a humanitarian situation, no doubt, that's a priority. But the other priority, equally important, is to ensure that we maintain the safety of our own people and of the refugees.
Meanwhile, asylum seekers have resorted to the illegal felling of trees for firewood and charcoal to sell in the community markets for cash. James Agogo is the assemblyman for Sapalega and a senior resource guide for the Forestry Commission. He says the village is losing trees at a rapid rate, but struggles to enforce forest protection laws.
The community cats will arrest them because they know the laws that guide in the area. That's why we don't agree with them. But the forestry, with the refugees, they don't have food. We are the people who even help them.
To help, the Sapalega community has donated farmland to residents of the local refugee camp. Ghana's refugee board says they are willing to offer refugee farming programs that provide equipment, training, seedlings, and other help. But they must first ensure the terms of land sharing would not lead to future disputes.
As long as we know that the land that they are farming on is properly acquired, whatever terms and agreements that need to be put in place are in place, we will be comfortable to assist them.
Ghana's refugee board says it is trying to move away from the refugee camp system to a community integration program for the Burkinabe asylum seekers. The board says until Burkinabe status is determined, it will continue to support them with donations. Sena Anutor for VOA News, Sapalega, Ghana.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Douglas Impoga in Washington. For more news, visit voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbe Yobro, and our engineer, Adrias Riggs, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays.